Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Always a pleasure to be able to share the latest on health and healing and allow us to live a longer life and have better choices. Now, here's a very important choice. And once again, establishing that all the complications of disease can be mitigated and prevented simply by having a rainbow diet, colorful foods, fruits and vegetables. This is according to the Federal University in Brazil. Now, the carotenoids, the carotenes, are what you have when you, let's say, consume a yellow pepper or a red tomato or a piece of watermelon, blue grapes, the full color of all of nature. That lowers what is called lipid oxidation, and that means less DNA damage. Now, let me explain this. Now, I'm 6'2", 170 pounds, racing weight, because I'm training and racing. And this is my ideal weight for the short distance races, meaning up to a 10K, 6 miles. But if I were racing a marathon, I would go up probably another 10 pounds, because you got to carry your body 26 plus miles. And therefore, you want to make sure you got the energy. When people are too skinny, they don't have the energy. Mitochondria is not there. So in this body, let's just guess that I have 50 trillion cells. Now, the key to aging slowly, we're all aging. It's just how fast are we aging versus how slow. And it's only later in life that people begin to see things like, oh, is that a gray hair? Oh, look at that baggy under my eyes. Oh, look at that double chin, triple chin. And then you start looking at the creepy skin of the wrinkles. And then you start feeling the fatigue or maybe a loss of libido. Or maybe you just can't sleep through the night, something you've taken for granted up to this point. What to do? Well, first, no matter what is causing this to happen, it ends up manifesting with destruction of your DNA, damage to the DNA. Well, all of your cells are DNA. So then what's happening? Well, what happens is what are called free radicals. Now, you can't eliminate all free radicals. They're a normal part of life. When I inhale, I'm taking in oxygen. When I exhale, I'm breathing out carbon dioxide. In that exchange between oxygen and carbon dioxide, you create free radicals. Now just imagine how many free radicals you create by doing a run. Let's say I run at a 8-minute pace, very slow, just to relax. But then I want to go faster, and I run at a 6-minute pace. And then when I was first running in New York City, I was running at a 4-minute pace, 5-minute pace, very common. That meant that I was creating a massive amount of free radicals. But you said, so what? So what? Look at all those athletes. Athletes live longer lives. True. But it's not just the athletes. It's how consistent the athlete is in exercising. If you ever notice certain athletes, they're in great shape in their competitive season, and then they let themselves get out of shape outside the season. Then they go back into shape. That seesaw is out of shape, in shape, out of shape. That's not healthy. But it's the consistency of doing it every day that really helps. But it also creates free radicals. What happens when you're exercising every day? Well, first of all, you lower your body mass index, especially the belly fat, the thigh fat, and that extends your lifespan. You lengthen the telomeres, the proteins in the end caps of your chromosomes. If your chromosomes become unraveled, they shorten. Shortening, you die quicker. The cell dies. Keeping that tightly bound telomeres means you have to do a lot of things right. And if you do, you're not going to look 30 when you're 30. When I was 30, I looked 20. When I was 40, I looked 25. And I have all, you can go back, just go up to Gary Nall and look at the photographs, and you'll see me in all the different elements of my life. And I didn't do that because I like to take pictures of myself. That's nonsense. I did it because I was measuring how quickly or slowly I was aging compared to my friends and colleagues of the same age. And so every year I would take a photograph and I'd see, is my body changing? Because my friends, when we were working out together, lean and strong. And now that they're not exercising, their body is completely unhealthy. And what happens is you do have damage from free radicals from exercise, But if you're taking vitamin C and quercetin and vitamin E and tocotrienols and cayenne, magnesium and calcium and zinc, you're able to trap those free radicals and neutralize them. So yes, exercising does create free radicals. Free radicals can cause inflammation and damage your DNA. The average cell is damaged about 10 to 12,000 times every 24 hours. Think of the math. 10,000 times 50 trillion. Whoa, that's a lot of damage. And the body, every second of that time, is doing all it can to protect you. It's just you're not doing anything to protect yourself. In most cases, you're intentionally doing things that, well, are harmful, like overeating and drinking alcohol. So in order to live a longer life and slow down the aging process, we have to know what causes the aging process to speed up. In order to prevent the diseases we believe are associated with aging, we have to look at what happens when you prevent those diseases. Then are they really normal to aging, or are they normal to bad habits? They're normal to bad habits. So the idea is, when you have a plant-based diet with lots of color in it, juicing, right, and having some green celery and cucumbers and yellow lemons and some ginger, that's great for your DNA. By having your nutrients, that's good for your DNA, especially the essential fatty acids. And then having, even getting your proteins from plants, that's good for your DNA also. So you see, protecting your DNA should be the number one consideration when it comes to living a longer life and healthier without disease. So when I'm working with different groups, as I've done my entire professional career as a senior research fellow in anti-aging medicine, and doing more studies on anti-aging in clinical studies than anyone else that I'm aware of in the world, and then getting all these positive results, I mean, not petri dishes, not lab animals, I mean real human beings, and lots of them. Hundreds of thousands of people participated in these studies. Remember the 1970s, 80s, 90s, 2000s? 40 years I did health support groups, and then the clinical anti-aging studies. We're in one right now. In fact, just last night, I spent an hour giving a lecture on where do you begin your journey. If you're serious about slowing down the aging process, you begin it by changing your attitude about what you're willing to tolerate and not tolerate, what you're willing to adapt to in a positive way or maladapt to in a negative way, because your attitude will determine how fast you age, how quickly you die, and what diseases you get. So, and that was last night. Next Sunday, for the next 90 days, I'll be doing a lecture every single Sunday to the people that were on campus or the health support group that are home. In any case, the results of this I then share with you. So I don't need a Federal University of Brazil saying that having daily carotenoids lowers your lipids and oxidative stress, the markers of premature aging. And so just have those, because where's your color in your French fries, your hamburgers, your pork chops, your veal, your roast beef? Where is it? Your, you know, fried nuggets. Where's the health? There's not. There's just disease, because it all creates free radicals, which creates oxidative stress, which prematurely ages everything. When you start eating things that have chemicals called lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N, and lycopene, L-Y-C-O-P-N-E-E, and zeaxanthine, Z-E-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N, and beta-carotene, these are all the coloring agents in the foods. And that's what allows you to live a longer and healthier life. All right? Or just take a supplement also. But you start eating a big salad every day with fresh sprouts, and it's going to help you. Now, another thing that will help you, this is according to Texas Women's University, grapes. Yes. Consuming grapes has been shown to be beneficial for the symptomatic relief of knee osteoarthritis. New research suggests that regular grape consumption can help alleviate pain associated with symptomatic osteoarthritis of the knee and improve joint flexibility and overall mobility. And but you got to have the polyphenols, and the polyphenols are found in grapes. So, and they used frozen grape or freeze-dried grape powder for this versus a placebo. But eating grapes, drinking grape juice, organic, having grape concentrate, or the most powerful of all, a grape powder every day. Now, by the way, there are a lot of other things grapes do that are good for your heart, your brain, slowing down the aging process, but this is just one study showing what it's also. Now, another study on exercise, this is from Washington University School of Medicine, exercise and weight loss is perfect way to fight diabetes. Now, I've been working with people with diabetes my whole life. I just finished working with someone that most of you know, Eutrice Lee. Diabetes, it was off the chart. Multiple drugs she was taking. Recently, I've been working with a person who had severe diabetes and the pain of diabetes and the lack of circulation in the extremities because of diabetes, the swollen legs, poor circulation. And all that can lead to gangrene, can lead to amputations, can lead to death. So it's not difficult, just building in a regular exercise model into your lifestyle. Even power walking twice a day can make a difference. And then having the low glycemic foods, your whole grains, your beans, nuts, seeds, in particular nuts like walnuts, make a big difference. Starchy vegetables. Stay away from all sugars, unless it's stevia, and stay away from refined carbohydrates. And that's what this University of Washington University School of Medicine showed. Not difficult. Not difficult at all. But we got to do it. You have to have the attitude to do it and say, I'm doing it for me. I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to follow up on this. Also, this is really important because this is from the Center for Health Systems Analysis. They found that meditation and natural remedies lead to 28% reduction in medical costs. Now, that's good, but for the last 100 years, more, natural remedies have been attacked instead of supported. Meditation was considered, you know, hoodoo voodoo. Nobody wanted to do it. Well, that's stupid. What's meditation? Energy stuff, that's all nonsense. There's no science behind it. No, to the contrary, there's an enormous amount of science. Just look in the PubMed, the National Library of Medicine, the peer-reviewed literature on traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, Qigong, Tai Chi, acupuncture. That's all energy medicine because it's moving energy in the body. It's unblocking energy in the body and allowing healing. So there's thousands of studies saying, yes, it does work. Now, you may not want to do it. You may not like it. But it's not because it doesn't have science backing it up. So it may seem like an unlikely recipe for good health, but meditation is so effective for healing that in a 14-year controlled study, it was shown to reduce medical expenses by 20%. Meditation especially had positive outcomes on the cost of those 65 and older, who often are subject to exorbitant medical fees and pricey hospitalizations. These results are further supported by a study showing a significant reduction in medical expenditures in subjects practicing meditation in conjunction with comprehensive natural health programs. That's important. And in fact, there's many benefits to meditation, and it reduces our cost for dealing with stress. It reduces pain medication, and it reduces depression. It boosts our immune system. And all of this is based on good science. Now, that's the latest on health and healing. And, by one last one, from the University of Gothenburg in Sweden, children consuming a Mediterranean diet are 15% less likely to be overweight. And why is that important? Because right now, we have an epidemic of diabetes, heart disease, ADD and ADHD in young people. And that is completely preventable in 95% of the cases. But we, as parents, have to go out of our way, like they do in France, like they do in Italy, like they do in Japan, and see that our children don't eat the junk food, that they're conditioned to eat based on television, internet. Okay? This was eight European countries participated in this, where the children ate a diet based upon the rules of the Mediterranean diet. And University of Gothenburg presented all this. So just saying, do what Sweden, Germany, Spain, Italy, Cyprus, Belgium, Estonia, and Hungary are doing. They're caring for their children instead of protecting the profits of major food manufacturers. Now, just want to let you know that we are Zoom filming this. So if you'd like to watch any of the health nutrition I do each day, then just go to prn.live, that's prn.live, scroll down to the archives, and then go to Gary and All Archive. And not only will you see this, if you're interested, I'm just in my studio in Florida, but you'll also be able to watch all the other clips that I play. And today I'm going to be playing some very interesting clips. And just to give you a heads up, I feel there's so much more that we can do individually and collectively to challenge all this going wrong in the world. But we're not. We're not unified, and we should be. Let us stop looking at each other for our differences, and let's come together based upon what we share in common. And I believe that there are those who would like to see us separated, fighting one another, instead of dealing with a larger input of people. What can I do to help with global warming? There's a lot you can do. How about lessening or eliminating meat? That would be a big first start. What else can I do? Well, I don't have to purchase all the things I'm now purchasing. I don't need all my stuff. That would be really helpful. Okay. What are some other things? Well, I could make sure that any clothes I wear are from high-quality places. And finally, if you'd like to watch this program in its entirety each day, then just go to prn.live, scroll down to where it says Archives, then scroll down to Gary Nall's Archive, and then you can watch not only my presentation, which I'm doing from my study in my home in Florida, and these, the words in the background, by the way, those are for my documentaries only. Not for my books and articles and everything else I do. And this is only a small percentage of them. Because I believe that one way that we can and should share information on how to create a better world for all of us is by showing the truth in a documentary, unbiased, and then showing the solutions with some of the most formidable minds who are solution-oriented. Here's the problem. Okay, let's be honest about it. But here's the solution. I'll give you an example. Let's just say that you watched Last Call for Tomorrow, the documentary I did on the environment. That was possibly the most comprehensive documentary ever done on the problems that we're facing worldwide, not just with global warming, but also the clathrates and all of the methane coming up from the Atlantic, North Atlantic, the Arctic Circle. As the ice melts, it doesn't reflect back harmlessly in the atmosphere. It goes right through when there's no ice because of global warming and warms up the bottom of the seafloor, which is shallow there, and that releases unlimited amounts of methane, which then contributes to further global warming. So if we were just conscious of how things are happening and why all these unusual and remarkable weather events are occurring. Just last week, just 4 days ago, out in, I think it was one of the Midwestern or Western states, they had hail the size of oranges, and they showed a whole solar field, one of the largest in the state, or the largest state, which is destroyed because of these hails hitting them. Well, you're going to get killed. Well, those hailstones hit you. It's like you're being hit by a big rock. Well, that had never happened before. And we're seeing the hottest days in history of recorded hot days, or the coldest days. They all come from the same background phenomena. So what can we do? What can I do? Well, I can be more conscious of whether or not the choices I'm making in life are contributing to this in some infinitesimal way. But what if what I'm doing, 1 million other people are doing, or 10 million, or 100 million, or 1 billion? So if I'm a vegan and I choose to eat nothing with a heartbeat or a face because I consider it sentient, then that will make a difference, a substantial difference in the amount of methane and carbon dioxide going into the environment. If I choose to lower my consumption overall, if I only buy what I need and not just what I may be conditioned to want, that makes a difference. If I don't fly in private jets and reduce my overall flying to minimal, that would make a difference. So you see, our choices do count, but we have to commit ourselves to it. That's what I'm suggesting. So when you do a documentary and people come out of the theater thinking, wow, I didn't know all that, that empowers people because you're giving them a broader understanding. You're opening up their mind to the world in its larger context, and you're showing them, here are some alternatives. And then it's your freedom to choose which of those, if any, you're going to apply. It's one thing to hear the truth. It's something else to actualize it. So we can make a positive difference. We can take back control over our lives. All right? And that's what I talk about, and that's why these films are important. I'm working on 2 brand new ones. I just finished one, and now and by the way, I'm premiering one time only this coming Sunday, the 9th, at 1 p.m. It'll be a webinar. It's not going to be all day, like some of mine are. It's only going to be about 3 hours. You're going to have a chance to see what could be called the most important public health documentary ever produced. It took me 7 years, and I don't waste time. I just had to find the right people with the right message and the right human interest stories to tell the story. I'll be doing a talk afterwards, and then I'll answer questions. So it's open for Q&A. All right, so go to GaryNall.com, and if for any reason you can't find it, just call my office, New York, 646-926-5422. 646-926-5422. I've gotten the broadest bandwidth I could get, because all of my documentaries, when I premiere them, all those webinars are packed. I won't be back in the city to premiere this. I did premiere it for a small private group up in Woodstock 3 weeks ago. Wonderful group. But now it's your chance all over the world to watch what could be a documentary that can change your life, possibly even save your life. This Sunday, 1 p.m., go to GaryNall.com and I'll show you how to sign up. But don't wait till the last moment. Last time, thousands of people couldn't get on. They waited. All right? All my stuff is always packed. Okay? Now we're going to take a break and come back. And again, if you go to prn.live, scroll down to archives, scroll down to Gary Knoll, you'll see it. Oh, and by the way, good news. Today, based upon the good work of a number of people, Jay, Richard Gale, Kathy, we have Kyle and Dylan and Sharon. We have our brand new video catalog of the Progressive Radio Network. And I mean, it is sharp. It's really, and you see all of our awards and our standing in the world, and, you know, and the reason why we are the number one progressive radio network in the world. All right? So that will be up at about 1 p.m. today. You'll be able to go to prn.live, and you'll be able to see it. Okay? Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. And you see love, women walk, I've been kicked around since I was born. I never tolerate, that's okay, and you may look the other way. But we can try, woman's man, the New York Times, a man, no man. Brother, you're a brother, a woman. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. For this part of our program, we would normally do a Zoom. Now, you can see me here in my studio, but my guest you won't be able to see because he's up in Northern California, and he has just had an electrical storm up there, so it's knocked out the Zoom. But we've got him on a telephone. You'll be able to hear him. His name is Dane Wigington. He is the lead researcher administrator for the website geoengineeringwatch.org. He's also the executive producer for the groundbreaking climate engineering documentary, The Dimming, and he has a background in solar energy and was a former employee of Bechtel Power Corporation. He's a licensed contractor in California, Arizona, and he's devoted the last 20 years of his life to constant research on the issue of covert global climate engineering operations and the effort to expose and halt them. And nice to have you with us today, Dane.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you for your willingness to address this issue that some are beginning to wake up to, but too few understand at this point.
Well, 20 years ago, when I would do a program on cloud seeding or any form of the chemtrails, people would say, well, isn't that just conspiracy theory? I don't deal in conspiracy theory. I only bring someone on the air and deal with the topic when we have solid proof that it exists. Now, that does not mean that mainstream media or the corporate interest will agree to that. But Dane is a person who is probably, of all the people in the world, he has been there on this nonstop, and he's the expert. So, Dane, I'm going to lay it out very simply. A few weeks ago, New York City and the entire Northeast was covered in a blank of polluting air. We were told that this was coming from fires in Canada, and these fires happen because of electrical storms, etc. But now it is getting worse. But also a phenomenon is being seen that would challenge the idea that this is just some electrical storms. If it were electrical storms, it would be episodic, meaning it could be all over the map. It wouldn't be in a straight line. And what we're seeing, which leads me to believe that this is either arson or it's government research, and I wouldn't put it past them because our government, remember, our government on thousands of occasions have used our natural resources, the planet, the ocean, and humans, without our knowledge or consent, to do different types of experiments. So, Dane, from your position, what do you see this is likely the outcome, and why should we be concerned? Because now I'm starting to see more and more articles from the one person I don't want to hear anything from, Bill Gates, that we need to dim the sun. If we're going to dim it the way he suggests, then it means we're going to flood the earth, the water, the soil, our breathing space with toxic chemicals, and that has never been shown to work to begin with. But whoever owns the companies that would be doing the seeding will make hundreds of billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars. Once again, trust that he's going to be profiting from this. Take us through step by step the phenomena. And even those mainstream media like Canadian Broadcasting Company and CBS who are reporting that it could be eco-terrorist, the forum is yours.
We would argue at geoengineeringwatch.org, we're the largest website on the subject in the world. We're non-political. We don't advertise. We're simply a data repository. We would argue that available data completely refutes any notion that these programs are just a, quote, proposal. The climate engineering, in fact, has been deployed as far back as World War II. And in regard to the fires in Canada, certainly having viewed many times the satellite imagery of the ignition of those fires, arson seems the only reasonable conclusion. There were no electrical storms over the ignition sites at the time of the ignition for many or most of those fires. We know that the U.S. military has had so much ability to control the flow of precipitation for over 50 years. This is a historical record. Project Popeye in Vietnam, they were so successful at controlling precipitation over Vietnam that by the mid-70s, there were international treaties passed to forbid weather manipulation in wartime. But no one pays attention to those treaties, as we know. We found science study that advocates for the burning of northern latitude forests to mimic the cooling, temporary cooling effects of a volcano. This is science study advocating for this, literally to incinerate Earth's life support systems to provide what amounts to a geoengineered temporary cooling by filling the atmosphere with enough particulate matter to do that. And these studies can be seen in a short video report titled Wildfires Serve Geoengineering Agenda. So what we're asking people to do is look at the data in regard to the aerosol dispersions in our skies. We have up-close film footage of aircraft, including military tankers, KC-10s, KC-135s, C-17s, up-close, nozzles visible, turning spray dispersions on and off. And I'll end with this. Geoengineeringwatch.org, at great expense and difficulty, took a NOAA flying lab, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration flying lab, to altitude, top scientist in it. We sampled what heavy aircraft were emitting, and we found climate engineering elements doing exactly what you stated, Gary, a moment ago. Aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers. It's contaminating virtually everything. It's showing up everywhere, all over the globe.
Well, of course, you've been on this for 20 years, and you've been shown to be absolutely correct. So I just want to give our audience a heads up. We have a lot of people in Canada who watch and listen to this radio program each day. So keep up the good work, and when new information becomes available, please let us know. All right?
I will definitely do so. Thank you, Gary.
Dane Wingington from Mountain, California, where he's based. All right, it's just a different perspective. More on this story. And keep in mind, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to be sharing with you some video clips that are on controversial topics. It is not that I agree or disagree in part or whole with anything being said. It's just I believe that as a part of our forum and platform, we must encourage people from all sides of an issue to share their points of view in a civil manner. If you have a good argument, make it. I've invited Dr. Hotez, I've invited Anthony Fauci, I've invited people to come on this forum, debate me personally, and on important issues, whether it's COVID or another topic. And because you should have a chance to hear as many points of view as possible, agree or disagree with them, but at least not engage in censorship. And there's one clip that really concerns me. I don't know if we'll be able to get it and find it today. I watched it yesterday, but it was of a classroom packed, Stanford University, and a person had just been introduced, a judge, who was invited to their law school to give a lecture. First of all, every single student, you'll see him in there pounding the desk and cursing him, using extremely vulgar language that I will not repeat, and that's one of the reasons I don't want to show it, because that's all they're doing is cursing, but all planned, all the same. And banging their fists on the desk. Needless to say, the person couldn't speak. Well, then why invite them? But we also see that one of the, in my opinion, one of the most articulate, intelligent, insightful philosophers, who's a professor and a lesbian and a feminist, and was one of the leaders of the feminist movement to support lesbians, has been attacked in Great Britain. Another one in the United States, too. In fact, two of the founders of the lesbian movement for human rights at the very beginning, back in the 1970s, they're being attacked. And as an extension, much of the lesbian community is being attacked unfairly, in my opinion, and wrongly, in my opinion. And yet now, this person has to have armed bodyguards take her to a lecture at Oxford University. Why? Because the students don't want to hear what she has to say. Is there anything she's saying that is controversial? Not a thing. I listened to the whole lecture, 10 minutes long. Not a single thing. In fact, to the contrary, she believes in open forums to intelligently dialogue. She's had a long history of being an outstanding educator. People love her. You watch her. She just has this wonderful charisma. She's got the it. All right, that personable connection with another human being. And yet, they want to kill her. Really? Death threats. And now she can't even walk. They go to attack her when she walks out the back of the university. Oxford University is one of the leading universities in the world, and rightly so. Oxford and Cambridge have some remarkable history of of teachers, educators. But now, what should be the Oxford Forum, where you have a debate, you have equal time for two different sides, and then the students can judge and which side they believe present the best arguments. These are smart people. I mean, both sides give very compelling evidence to support their causes. It's not just one's really stupid and the other one's very bright. No. And now you cannot hear the lectures because they're playing horns and music and banging on windows outside. They're doing the same thing throughout the United States. Do you remember Evergreen College? I was the first radio program in the United States to do a commentary on it. I wrote an essay on it. Just a little background on how this all ties together and what's going on today. Two of the university's most liberal professors, in fact, the students said that they're the nicest, best, most open, flexible, and fluid professors, the Weinsteins, both evolutionary biologists, both scientists. And one day, a group of students, but not theirs, started to protest. They didn't want any whites on campus. It was a very racial hinged protest they were having. And Weinstein went out to talk with him in a civil manner. And all they did for 4 hours was scream at him, curse him, epithets. And they brought so much, and his own students came out to defend him. They didn't care. The mob overwhelmed everyone. They were tenured. They managed to get them fired. Then they went to the dean or the president and told him, here are demands. And all these demands, woke demands, identity politics demands. And the president agreed to everything. So they got that way. Then they got rid of him. In effect, they took over the university. The Weinsteins were out. They were defunded. They were canceled. For why? Being very progressive, historically accurate liberals. Okay, that began to spread across the United States, where intemperance, intolerance, and personal rage by young people who've contributed nothing to this world except their judgments. And yet they're saying, you said a word that threatens my very existence, and then you spend the next 4 hours cursing someone and threatening their life. Is there a disconnect here? Is a whole country witnessing this? Yes, we are. So imagine these are the people who are going to be taking positions, which they have, in major corporation government offices, and now we're seeing the consequences. Taking their imbecilic, immature, and outrageously foolish notions and codifying them into laws. For example, in Ireland, in Great Britain, and in Canada, they want to include new speech laws, for example, where if you do not use the proper pronoun, you could go to jail for 5 years. 5 years, and be fined thousands of dollars. That's how far the madness has gone. You think it's just temporary? It already passed almost unanimously the lower chamber, and Ireland now goes to their full vote in the Senate. And it looks like they have the power to pass this. That would virtually destroy all free speech. In fact, even just reading something, having something on your internet, for example, let's just say you want to listen to Brendan O'Neill, one of the finest intellects in Great Britain, debate on identity politics. Just having that article to read could make you susceptible to going to prison. This is insane. This is time for everyone to push back. But also it's rather ironic. At a time when now the Supreme Court has just taken down the notion that we're going to, as a country, we're all going to pay for your college debt. Ask yourself this. What if you're the average American, graduated from college or not, paid your debt off, and or a person never went to college? You're a craftsperson, a mason, a builder, plumber, a glazier, a trust maker. And now you're told you're going to pay all these students' debts off. Okay. Why? Remember, the government never pays anything. The government doesn't have the resources to do this. All this comes from the public. And then the government then allocates it as it will. If you were to watch all these students, and they're not all students, but there are millions of them now engaged in the woke culture, does that make you feel warm and good inside to pay off their student debt? I don't think so. And I think that there's a point here where we can understand that we should have free education at the state level. So if you want to have quality education without burdensome debt, go to a state institution and get that through a state university or college. And that's where we support that. If you want to go to a private university, Yale, Harvard, Duke, University of Pennsylvania, University of Chicago, Princeton, they have huge, when I say huge, I mean billions of dollars, Harvard, tens of billions of dollars in endowments. It's been shown statistically that if they paid for every single student at Harvard for the next 50 years, their full tuition, they would still have money left over. So why is it that we've allowed the universities to gouge themselves, pure financial gluttony, and put it all on the student? And who controls 40%, more or less, of the student debt? The government. So if the government wanted to forgive that, it could. But then the government would not be able to give a private institution that money. It would have to forgive it. It chooses not to do that. So everywhere you look, when you pull back from the slogan, you're seeing special interests at work. So let's help students who could not afford to go to college by providing them free state university and colleges. And those who want to go to a private institution, you pay for it. It's on you. If you really believe that graduating from Yale or Harvard is going to give you a better education than going to a state school, then you're delusional. It's not been shown to be the fact. Will it help you as far as getting into certain businesses? Yes. But you're not smarter because of it. So this is one way we can solve the student debt. There's another way, and I've talked about this extensively, and that is just be honest. Just simply be honest with the students. Before anyone enrolls in college, first and foremost, ask, is there a likelihood that your career will be there when you get out? Or will it be taken over by artificial intelligence that's moving at warp speed? Right now, artificial intelligence itself has stated, when asked, that within the next 5 years, it'll take 80% of all jobs in the United States gone. Diagnostic, accounting, law, art, music, the creative arts. Then writing, authors of books. So why would you choose a career where you're almost certainly not going to have a job, just debt? Secondly, are you going to college to continue the bubble that you were raised in, that kind of comfort entitled, you know, I'm not held to the same standards, I'm kind of a perfect person? Ask my mother, she's a bulldoze mother or a soccer mom or a helicopter mom. And don't judge me based upon my grades. If I get an F, make it an A. Better, we're going to take down your class. Teachers are terrified. Terrified. Jonathan Haidt said so. He says he doesn't use humor. He doesn't bring guest speakers in. He doesn't show film. He's afraid that one student in that class will file a nine, what is known as a Title IX on him, where he's investigated. The student can remain anonymous. And think of the mean-spiritedness. Think of the bias. Think of the race baiting. Think of identity politics. Think of the dumbest thing, the most racial charged issue in American history from the Civil War till now. Critical race theory, D'Angelo. It is a pro-racist manifesto. It is extremely dangerous because those who knew and had the intellect to completely destroy it have acquiesced. And everywhere they acquiesce, it's just our whole system fails us. And then take a look at this. I'm going to show you something. If you're watching this, you'll see it. This is from today's paper. And it, the whole feature story on what is happening in education in one school. Let me just quote this here. Teachers warn, RPG course preps kids for critical failure. And then it goes on to say that these kids are graduating from school by taking a class in Dungeons and Dragons, and that's why they have a 96% graduation rate. But then, aside from that, when they look at what they've really learned, they're functionally illiterate. They fail almost everything else. Okay, well, how'd that happen? How is it that no one's held accountable in this school, that students are not coming to school most of the time? But how can you graduate 96% of students and don't come to class and don't learn when they do come to class? Because the whole system has maladapted. Right now, what's wrong with public education is first the unions, and I'm a pro-unionist. You know, I'm AFTRA and my other unions I belong to, but I don't believe in corrupt unions. And the teachers' union, in my opinion, has lost its credibility. I saw this when I saw them trying to close down charter schools, and it was the charter school serving the poorest of the poor within the ghettos, minorities, that they brought children who were suboptimal up to really proficient in all their classes, and they went into college without needing assistance. They had the knowledge, the skills, the discipline, the intellect to do it. Now, if you've never been in a charter school, you might want to visit one. I was asked by a woman who started a charter school in Newark. And at that time, Newark was really in bad shape. We're going back almost 30 years. She came to my office one day. Her name was Shore. And she said that it was a hard time because there was such a small budget and the people were not healthy. And she knew that was a very important part of a person and a child and a parent's life is health. Would I come over and help? So I said, sure. So I met with the faculty. But I also want to meet with all the parents and the students. And I took a crew with me. I filmed it. But I also took some medical doctors from Tri-State Healing Center, Lou Ampanisi, Howard Robbins, a whole lot of different specialists. And so I said, here's what we can do if you choose to. We can not only help you with your health, but we can help the whole family and the faculty. Everybody follows the same protocol. And they agreed to it, but they were dirt poor. The person said, I can't afford, you know, the stuff that you're talking about, like brown rice, but they could afford white rice. I said, okay. So I sent in 16 wheelers. These are huge trucks filled to the capacity. So each person would get like a 50-pound bag of brown rice. I mean, everything they needed to their health for a whole year, I gave them. It's my gift to them. And then we started with the motivational classes and then also the exercise and a buddy system. Now, at the first day, 95% of people, the parents, were unhealthy. Diabetes, obesity, heart disease, cancers, fibromyalgia, etc. And the students wanted their parents to be healthy, as could be expected. But I filmed the last day, and we met with them every month. You've never seen things like this. We filmed for hours because every parent got up and talked about radically changing their life. I'll give you one example. There was one mother who said, when I started, I was taking 17 medications. I would fall asleep. I wasn't there for my daughter at home. Sometimes I would fall asleep and wouldn't even get up for dinner, let alone homework or anything else. I was that sick. I was in bed 16 hours a day. And I weighed 200 pounds above my normal weight. And I had all these diseases. Today, I have no medications, I'm disease-free, and I spend quality time every day, not only with my daughter, but also my other relatives, motivating them to make changes in their lives, and even my neighbors, because people begin to see that you're a different person a year later. What'd you do? How'd you do it? And it's not difficult. And then support one another. So this whole support system that went out through Newark from this one group. In fact, I've never mentioned this, but I have it here somewhere. I have a big library here stuffed with all these things. Cory Booker sent me a commendation for helping the poor of Newark. And that was nice. But what was really nice is seeing every single parent in there had made major strides in their health. Well, a person who owned another school was there that day, got word, and I went over to help his school, same results. So not only were there students achieving the highest level of academic excellence, but they also, their health was back, and then by extension, the community health had improved. Would you think that maybe something that was that significant would be talked about, brought into the regular school system? I'm sure there was a time when it would have. In fact, it did. Remember, Gloria Swanson, the great actress who was one of the co-founders of Hollywood, and myself were the first to put a healthy menu into Harlem schools in Montessori and other places. And that's when there was no bureaucracy. There was the teacher, administrator. But now that can't happen for two reasons. A, because there's not just a school teacher and a principal, or there's layer upon layer upon layer of bureaucrats. These are not teachers. They don't have backgrounds in education. They're bureaucrats, plain and simple. They're paid high salaries, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And there are multiple layers, equity people. And so everything has to be filtered through the lens of this artificial, cult-like system of reconditioning into an indoctrinating process, the young students. If you realize that we have schools in the United States that are in ghettos, that are run down, where not all the students have textbooks, and we're spending over $50,000 to $60,000 a year per student, where's that money going? It's not going to the teachers. They're overworked and underpaid. It's not going to the students. No, it's going to the administrators. And the unions have not only allowed this, they're a part of it. Now, that does not mean that all the union members agree with this. They don't. But you look at the people who are at the top of that field, and they're all interconnected. And so lots of money being spent, very little coming out the other end as far as quality and excellence. So that's why a lot of people want to send them to private schools, homeschool, and or to charter schools. So you got examples of what can happen. We're just not using them. And every day there's something else in the newspaper about how schools that have 90% of their students are not proficient in math or English. Why? Students are not inherently stupid. It's no different than the Japanese, the Chinese, the Vietnamese, the Taiwanese, Cambodians, Laos citizens, Malaysian citizens come to the United States, and they suddenly have the highest scores on college entrances, yet they're denied. And they don't have any gene that makes them smart. They have parents that encourages them to study and mastery. Because if you come to the United States and you get into one of our schools and you do well and you get yourself a good job, when you go back to your country, then you're going back in a formidable position to be able to be responsible within your community. I've spoken with hundreds of these individuals. These are not rich parents, rich kids. They're working class people. So if around the world we can have higher levels, why can't we do it here? We could if we made it an issue. But until you get that close to an issue, until you become involved in it, you can't appreciate what great success can come from simple, non-complicated processes. Just my thoughts, because all this was coming at the same time. So for all of you who are out there shouting down guest speakers, not wanting something taught, feeling that because your pronoun was not used, your life is over and you must now go to a room. And they have these rooms all over. Have you gone in one of these rooms? They have little teddy bears and they have all kinds of comforting things you'd expect a three-year-old to have. Yeah. And then they go out and scream and want to beat your face in, want to stab you through the neck. Yeah. Threats, death threats. Gee whiz, how's that work? You're willing to kill someone. You're willing to use every kind of racial slur against someone. You want someone dead and abolished, but if someone says something you feel is a trigger word, your whole life is worthless? No. You play that game with someone who doesn't, who plays games I don't, and a lot of other people don't. You're going to hear about it, because guess who's going to be speaking loud and clear at the next election? The independents. Not the Democrats and Republicans, forget them. The people that used to trust in our political system, trust in the great charismatic leaders that we had, all of whom betrayed the people's trust over and over and over again. And now they became independent. So if you add up all the Democrats registered to vote and all the Republicans registered to vote, they're not even one half the total independents who have mainly stayed out of voting. The numbers show it. Now they're angry about a lot of things, and rightly so. So you'll hear from them. But just remember, you want someone to pay off your debt, and you hate the very people, you despise the people who are paying off your debt, you hate the country that's allowed you this education. Well, okay, you can continue to be the spoiled, petulant, mind-numbingly stupid individual you are. You have no intellect in any. You couldn't write an essay if you tried. And yet, you want to be the future, and you want a free, I don't have to pay anything. It'd be a different approach. It'd be different feelings if you showed appreciation for the great country you live in, flaws and all. But there are a lot of wonderful human beings not identified by their body politic, by them being human beings. Those of you who are acting out, and you're not the majority, but unfortunately we don't see the majority of students who are decent, thoughtful, patient, and know that they're there to learn. We don't hear from them. But the minority, in this case, who are making all the trouble and against free speech, you're also showing why you shouldn't be hired, and why you shouldn't have a position of responsibility until you've grown up. Because, my goodness, think about what you're going to do when you're given power. Whoa. Just my thoughts. I'd like to hear from you. I've been filming this far, but I can't do the Zoom and take calls at the same time. So we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I'd like to hear from you. 888-874-4888. And also, my new film, one showing only, Manufacturing Madness, the most comprehensive film, most in-depth, most honest film ever done on our complete failure as a society to deal with depression, anxiety, loneliness, insecurity, and uncertainty. The world's leading authorities on the subject I filmed over the last 7 years. This could save your life. 1 o'clock this Sunday the 9th. And you can go to our website, GaryNall.com, sign up. All right? It's really phenomenal film. And there's lots of good stuff of what we can do to change the system and not become a victim of it in here. So you won't want to miss it. I'll be there. We'll have the film, discussion, and I'm happy to take questions at that time. All right? Manufacturing Madness, Sunday, 1 p.m. You don't want to miss this. I'm only going to show it once. That's it. All right, I'm already working on the next two films, and they're powerful as well, different topics. And also, we just put up today our new catalog. You don't want to miss it, PRN, Progressive Radio Network's new catalog. You can see all the hosts, and a description of their program and about them, photographs, and some of the reasons why we're the number one progressive radio station in the world. And this is the number one progressive radio program in the world. All right? We tell the truth. And we take on important and controversial issues, not because I agree or disagree, but because I don't see anything but echo chambers. You turn on almost every station, including on alternative radio and all you hear, television, all you hear in podcasts, people singing to the choir. You know, why? Bring on people you disagree with. Bring on people who have a different point of view, and then offer challenges in a diplomatic and in a manner that is not threatening, where you're not trying to attack the person, rather you're trying to show where your argument is a better argument and what is the proof of that. Civility, but with passion. So we do that here, as you'll see from upcoming people. In fact, people who won't debate me, so I've got clips from them being interviewed by other people. More on these topics coming up. And now we're going to go over to Yatrice Lead, who's back live on the air today. She's taken the last, I think, 6 days off because her home was being refurbished and sanded and painted, and it was in the way of doing her program. But she's in a really good place right now, and we're happy for her for that. And she's going to be doing some outstanding program, as normal. And today, by the way, you'll be able to download in about an hour from now the new Progressive Radio Network catalog, showing all the hosts and the times that they're on. And so now we have that for you, and it's free. All right? So we'll go over now and say hello to Yatrice Lead. Thank you all for listening today.